serving Long Island for over 80 years. Thank you for listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again, to Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking.
Hi, Mark.
With me in the studio, I have our very
own... Hi, Hassan.
Hassan. And our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
Yeah, senior. I guess he's allowed to be late. I'm never late.
No, never.
Never.
Never, never, ever, ever.
Because I'm junior.
Yes,
the junior is faster.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming.
Or dead audio streaming.
Also on the GBB website. You can see us in high definition web camera right now. If you're listening to us live, as we're recording. If you're listening to us live while it's already on tape, then you'll be seeing somebody else.
If you're listening to us live while we're already on tape, we're not live.
But they're listening to us live. They're listening to us live.
No, they're not.
They're alive listening to us.
But we're not live.
Right, but they're listening to us live.
Yeah, but everybody who's listening to anything is always alive. So that the differential of alive and recorded is significant.
Tape.
Yes. No, it's not live on tape.
Live on tape.
Stop being a jerk.
The studio. This has been recorded in front of a live
studio audience. You got things reversed per usual with your time travel and all the other machinations that make you crazy. Live is differential for us, not for them.
No, this just takes the wind out of my sail.
Well, that's because you had it wrong in the first one. You were trying to sail the boat backwards. Try to sail the boat forwards, and I'll be with you.
Sail the boat backwards.
Don't sail the boat backwards.
Put it in reverse.
It's not my fault. Please continue with your intro.
Take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
As we haven't done in the past couple of weeks, we're going to start with some very sad news.
Extremely.
Actor Paul Walker, best known for his role in the Fast and Furious franchise, died yesterday in a car crash just one day after his death had been falsely reported on the internet. Turns out that it was a hoax that said that he had died. They said that he was fine, and then he died.
I didn't know about the hoax.
Yeah, that was part of the whole thing that was going on the internet. If you were paying attention, they were like, is it a hoax? Is it not a hoax? Because the day before, it was a hoax, and it kind of just...
This is a fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Paul Walker was the passenger in a car when it suddenly left the road and crashed into a light pole in a tree. The car exploded and burst into flames, and a local police declared both occupants of the car dead at the scene. Paul Walker was a passenger, and I feel kind of bad for the guy who was driving because nobody knows who he is.
Well, his family knows. His people know who he is.
Yeah, but I'm like, but Paul Walker and friend.
And some
like,
guy.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like that bothers me. I don't know why he does, but it does.
It should, because you're a human being. You've got compassion. You'd like to send out a...
Condolences to
the person who died. But, you know, that's not the way our society works, unfortunately. He didn't... bother to make a name for himself, so he doesn't deserve recognition. You know, that's
so
according
on,
to the
on,
way people.
On the tombstone is going to be Paul Walker's driver. Like that's just
yeah.
That's
it, just, well, no, his family will take care of him properly.
Hopefully,
theoretically.
Paul Walker first got into work in industry as a child when he worked on a Pampers commercial. He became a child model, and then he started working on television shows such as Who's the Boss and Young and the Restless. He also was featured in movies such as Monster in the Closet, Meet the Deedles, Pleasantville, The Skulls, The Lazarus Project, and
he's been around
Running
for a while.
Scared.
Yeah, that, but not the Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal one.
Right,
the other one. The newer one.
Yes.
Which is not a bad movie. I actually enjoyed that movie. It is too bad.
He was in California to attend a charity function that was to raise money for the Philippines. So that's an extra nail in the coffin there. You know, no good deed goes unpunished?
No good deed.
And he was 40.
Yes, magic age.
So our condolences go out to him, his family, and the family of the other guy.
Yes, who shall is undisclosed. There might be other reasons why his name is not given. His family might not want him, you know.
It's very possible.
So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean nefarious neglect has occurred here within the entertainment industry.
Correct. Probably was.
Yeah, probably was. But it doesn't necessarily mean.
Yes. Speaking of deaths, last week, Family Guy
speaking of deaths.
Killed off Brian Griffin, the
Did
dog.
Did you just segue speaking of death?
Yes.
God.
I don't know. Today's an off day for
did
me.
Did we just say, we were just talking about an insensitivity and you just segued off of death. Okay.
Being insensitive myself.
To a cartoon character. From a real death to a cartoon character.
Takes on to no one, I'm insensitive. What can I say? Last week, Family Guy killed off Brian Griffith, the dog, letting him get run down by a car in the episode The Life of Brian. Executives say, this is just a fun way to shake up things on the show.
That's the executive voice? That executive voice was very gleeful in comparison to some of your other executive voices.
Well, it says, this is a fun way. He was just saying it's a fun way.
Yeah, but I mean,
he
was talking
fun.
About the death of a character, and he's got the gleeful voice. So, yeah, this is just a way to, we just kill characters off. We just like it.
However, for you astute Family Guy fans, Brian's name does appear in the title of two future episodes, Brian's a Bad Father and Brian the Closer, so this may just be a publicity stunt.
Like Superman, like the death of Superman.
Like the death of, and the return of Superman.
The death and the return of Superman, yes.
Speaking of being insensitive.
How does he do it? How does he?
A Hindu group has called on to ABC. Following 2 weeks ago's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they did the Thor tie-in, which we talked about last week, the episode in a throwaway line suggested that the god Vishnu, like the hero Thor, might be an alien. So the Hindu group is now offended because they...
Strange that people get offended when you accuse their gods of being aliens. That's odd.
So they say.
You say Santa Claus isn't real and people try to kill you. So what's going to happen when you start talking about actual gods not being real?
They say, we believe that these lines are inappropriate as they'll unnecessarily drag a highly revered Hindu deity in a television episode and then create misinformation about the oldest and third largest religion among a large audience. Faith was something sacred, and attempts at debasing it hurts its adherence. Television and Hollywood should be more conscious while handling faith-related subjects, as television and cinema are very, very mighty mediums, and these could create stereotypes in the minds of some audiences.
Well,
the
actual quote was, Vishnu has to be an alien. So it wasn't like, oh, what do you think? Maybe other gods are aliens, like, you know, such and such, and you know, Thor and Loki and Vishnu. It was like, no, Vishnu has to be one if that's the case.
Well, the actual quote is, do you think other deities are aliens too? Vishnu for sure, right? It's a joke. First of all, it's a joke. Second of all, it's a television show. Come on, it's a little too much for me. It's way too much to be attacking a television show for a throwaway line. And it wouldn't even...
a throwaway line discrediting the number one deity in the third largest religion in the world.
If they would have said, oh, Jesus is an alien too, right? I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then kept them moving.
But you're not devout, though. You're not a devout practitioner of the...
It's a TV show about people flying around with superheroes and aliens and all this kind of stuff. It's a TV. It's not like it's not reality. It's not a news program. It's a show.
Right. But, you know, people demand respect for their gods.
on a show.
If you're not going to defend your god off of a TV show, when are you going to defend your god? When is it the right time to defend your god, and when is it not the right time?
Well, let's see. Maybe if a person in position of power would say something, a real person would say something.
As opposed to a television show that broadcasts to, you know, like a 80 million people.
People know 80 million fake.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you know it's fake and it's a fake thing and it's not a big deal, then don't do it. You know, don't. If it's not your religion, it's not your domain to make fun of, then leave it alone. Then if there was a Hindu person who said it, it might not have been so bad. But you got the typical white person saying, what if your god is an alien too? It's not going to go over well. I'm not saying that the complaints are right. I'm saying the shock about the fact that there are complaints is kind of asinine, since people always complain about stuff like this. And the display of a little sensitivity usually goes a long way. And if you're insensitive to that, then people are going to kind of lash out. And here's the other problem with your theory. This country takes BS, okay, and fluff way more seriously than they take serious things. Case in point, how you just segued Paul Walker's death with Stewie's death, or whatever the guy's name is, the dog's name. Okay,
dog.
It's just very easy to do. These are the important things that we pay attention to. These are the things that we gravitate to. Who's doing music? Who's on television? Who's a movie star? We don't care about who's in Congress. We don't care about the guy who just perfected LASIK surgery and makes people see again. We don't care about any of it. We don't care about who's in the shuttle landing on the moon. We don't care. We care about Smallville. We care about Arrow. We care about these goofy things. If you're going to use that as an outlet to arguably suggest that some things are real and some things are not real, then you're going to get a backlash from it. That's all it's going to be. Now, yes, probably an overreaction. Absolutely. Nobody deserves to die over it. However, you know, just as those people need to calm down, you can't just go around will-nil just accusing other people's cultures of being, you know, less credited than others. That's dumb.
By the way, did you hear they killed Brian off on Facebook?
Exactly. Segway.
And that is our very own senior correspondent. So yes. Chiming in. Who walked in gingerly?
It wasn't ginger. It was stealthily. You got to give him credit for it. He's even got the stealth jacket on.
That's right. He does.
He walked in stealthily.
I got the Italian thing going.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of things that we should care about, as we've reported for the past two weeks, we've been reporting on this.
Those weeks.
The Bat Kid once again has made news, where this time he traveled to New York City and was on the Good Morning America.
What kind of a world we live in when a kid dressed up like a bat gets all of my press. This town needs an enema.
By the way, did you hear they killed Brian?
How do you do it? How did you do it?
So, Miles Scott, a 5-year-old who has battled leukemia, has managed to show up on the Good Day America show, and he foiled once again the Riddler, and he once again saved Gotham City, which is now Manhattan, from the likes of his Batman's arch enemies.
And they all signed this kid up.
I think, because this kid deserves to do this, go on a nationwide tour, and every city across the United States, this kid should stay safe.
Support the Riddler.
Yes.
The poor Riddler. He can't go anywhere and be safe from this kid. That'd be fantastic.
He's running around. Yeah. I'm going to go to New Jersey now.
Oh, the kid's
I'm
here.
I'm going to go to Idaho.
No, get this kid out of here.
Speaking of the Riddler.
So once again, you know, congrats to Miles Scott. It's a good, it's finally a feel good story, which has been going on for 3 weeks.
Great.
3 weeks.
Buried the lead. Should have led with that.
Well, you told me to start with the sad news.
I didn't tell you.
Because there's nowhere else to go but up.
Fair enough. That's what you get for listening to me.
Speaking of Nowhere Else to Go But Up.
Oy.
The Day of the Doctor, which is the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Which I loved.
Oh, you see, you saw it. Anyway.
I saw it.
I went, I acquired it. Perhaps nefariously.
Wow! And I was talking about what we're gonna subject of the week.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, everybody's talking about the Day of the Doctor. And then as I got it, as I received it,
right.
I was like, I don't care about the Doctor. I haven't watched Doctor Who since David Tennant left. So I kind of I'll watch it later. So but I haven't even.
The thing with that is. A lot of people have watched it from my day, and that's why I was thrilled with this. And it's easy to lose track of that series. You know, you can easily
it varies in quality.
So many things that happen, so many doctors. But if you stayed with it,
I'm a sucker for Tom Baker. I was a Tom Baker, God. You know, lunatic, and I only watched it about maybe. 20 years ago when they were on the Sci-Fi Channel in the 90s.
Right, well, Tom Baker was the most...
Yes.
Because that was when it came mainstream, when Tom Baker was on. And so Tom Baker is the favorite of everybody in America. He's more familiar with him. And the thing at the end was brilliant.
I didn't see it yet. I liked Christopher Eccleston a little bit. It was all right, but I really liked David Tennant. I really got into it with David Tennant. Although I am told by Whovians, by enthusiastic Whovians, that the writing wasn't that great for David Tennant's term, and it got a lot better when Matt Smith, I think that's his name, Matt Smith took over as a doctor. But I didn't like Matt Smith.
Well, that's the thing with the doctor, because I compare that to Saturday Night Live, because you have so many transitions and so many different writers that every once in a while you'll hit
you'll hit a stride.
Gold, right. And then that's why the doctor can, you know, you can drift off from the doctor. But this was I got to see it, and it was I liked it.
All right.
Being a fan, I liked it. That's
so that means you were part of the Guinness Book of World Record breaking numbers, as it was the largest simulcast of a TV drama ever in the history of the world.
Yes.
It took place in 1,500 cinemas across 94 countries in 6 continents.
They showed it in the movie theaters.
They showed it in the theaters. Wow. People saw it on TV. It's the biggest one-time simulcast ever,
and it was brilliant. Whoever
and on
wrote,
top of all of it, it was good.
Yeah, because you figure, you know, it could be, like they could go south with it, but it was. You could see they hired the big guns, top-notch. Wow. You know, fanatics. They kept. Oh my God, it was quite a show.
The executives say. We knew we were attempting something unprecedented in broadcast history, not only because Doctor Who is a drama, unlike a live feed event such as the World Cup football or a royal wedding, but because we had to deliver this episode in advance to the four corners of the world so that it could be dubbed and subtitled into 15 different languages. If there was any doubt that Doctor Who is one of the world's biggest TV shows, this award should put that argument to rest. And how fitting for it to receive such an accolade in its 50th year.
Yeah.
I got nothing but positive things to say about that. I think that's fantastic. I'm glad that it's, you know, first of all, it's genuine old-fashioned science fiction, it's genuine serial television.
Yep.
It's genuine quality according to most of the people who watch it, you know, who like it. And like I said, they say the David Tennant session or term of being the doctor was kind of weak writing, but I'm kind of a stickler for writing, and I seriously enjoy. Yeah. I managed to enjoy each and every one of those. So they say the Matt Smith ones are better. That's fine. And then this doctor thing wasn't a disappointment to anybody because Doctor Who fans are saying it was great, and it was simulcast. So there's nothing but good things about it.
And
that.
They get this big. You have to see it. I'm not going to be a Herman and ruin it. But they get this big question that's been going on and on and on, taken care of.
Really?
taken care of, and not in a crazy way. You have to see it. It's amazing. They bring some of the doctors back, but very quickly. But at the end, you know, it was done. It was a huge thing in England. They had all their talk show had the two doctors on that were. And John Hurt was, of course, in it.
Right.
And it was an amazing show. I, as a Doctor Who fan, I sat there and I was like, oh, my God, this is great.
Yeah.
This is great. There wasn't one bad thing. And the constant that if you have to say, what's the best thing you could say about Doctor Who? And about the program, about what they did with the program through the years. And the one thing that remains constant through that is the theme song that I loved.
The theme song
is pretty cool, and they kept it.
I am not a Doctor Who fan.
Get
but
out!
I did do a little homework on this. I read up on the episode, that the 50th anniversary.
Well done.
And despite the fact of me not being a Doctor Who fan, I'm reading it, I'm like, wow, this actually seems pretty interesting. Gee, if I was only a Doctor Who fan, I would appreciate this more. So for someone who's completely on outside of the Doctor Who fandom, reading the episode, I'm like, wow, this actually seemed like a really cool idea and what they did to connect everything.
And like I said, watching the last episode, you know, you get that nervousness because you don't know if they're going to throw it all away.
Right.
You don't know if they're going to put something in.
Ah,
they can't do that because now I'm thinking, but everything went.
That's what's going to happen with me on the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers.
And I remember one of the first science fiction conventions I went to with Herman years ago, perhaps maybe when you guys were just even being born or just children.
I was never born.
Yeah. It was like when the talent would sit at a table and just sign.
Right.
You didn't have to pay. You just had to stay on the line and so on. There was, and I wish I could remember his name, but one of the first Doctor Who's was sitting there, and we got autographs, and I could kill myself because I don't know.
He didn't charge $400, huh?
What?
And he didn't charge $400?
None of them did. They would sit at a table. They would all be in a row.
Wow.
Sit at a table and just sign autographs.
Look at that.
Caroline Monroe, who was one of Herman's friends, who was a big star. She was in the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Golden Voyage of Sinbad, and one of the James Bond things. She was a big guest there. She was a speaker. And then after they're done speaking, they all sat at tables. And
wow. Times have changed.
The times have changed.
It's all about money. It's all corporate, man. It's all, everybody's sold out, man. Everybody's about making money.
Speaking about making money.
Mr. Segway, make money.
I'm done with this. This is terrible.
I'm tired of it too. We're not gonna let's put it this way. Yeah. We're not gonna do Mr. Segway anymore.
Segway.
If anybody's bothered with that, call in, all right? Because we've had
enough.
It.
It's enough with the Segway.
Yeah. Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, will end its Broadway run on January 4th. I mentioned this last
So they're actually turning on the dark.
With an expected loss of $60 million. If you remember, it was a $75 million production.
But they think it's going to be, it's going to make its money back in Vegas,
right?
Because they're idiots.
This goes down as the biggest loss ever in Broadway history.
That's a shame.
And the breakdown of the show's cost comes as this: as you had asked last week over the actual breakdown, it is $1,300,000 is the weekly production budget. $2,940,000, which is what it made on the week of December 25th, 2011, which was the highest one-week take for any show ever. So that's the highest it ever made.
Right, and it still didn't even cut even.
And the last week in September, which was the lowest amount, was $621,000.
That's under a million, so yeah.
With five people who had major injuries, including one person who had a required amputation.
What?
Yeah, one person had an amputation, so that's all that cost going into
for
it.
For you got your limb amputated for Turn Off the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even a war hero. You know, it's like That's okay.
So
yeah, the show needs to go.
So for those of you who want to see it before it ends, but they are reducing the prices of the tickets.
Really?
Heavily reduced prices are available. That's what it says here.
How much?
I have no idea. It says
heavily reduced. You know I'm going to ask you how much?
I'll tell you next week.
All right, yeah. Next week it'll be heavily, too late.
Heavily discounted tickets. All the way up until January 4th will be the last.
January 4th, but you're going to tell me next week, you know, in halfway through December. It's going to be nothing. Nothing. And you're going to forget to tell me next week. And I'm going to forget to ask you next week.
Well, then.
So it's all going to be.
It all works out.
It's not going to work out. It doesn't work out for anybody.
It works out for me.
No, it doesn't. Because then I'll remember later that I didn't ask you and I'll give you trouble about it when you can't do anything about it. That's how it works, my friend.
All right, so that is it for the
break.
We'll be right back for Game From Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are on the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, and our junior correspondent, Hassan Godwin.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you want a title? Yes, your title.
Huh?
Well, you got a title.
Yeah. All right, that's right.
So, this week, we're going to be talking about, in the spirit of the holidays...
Mm-hmm. And stealing.
Yes, and the Grinch. Internet piracy. And piracy in general. Internet has made it a bigger thing, but piracy in general.
Right.
I'm going to go with the music industry as an example. There are a lot of people out there in the music industry who are happy to put this stuff out there and let people, you know, copy it and pirate it just to get the exposure, to get stuff out there. But then there's the big corporations that want to carry all the money, have it all to themselves, that you cannot distribute, copy, or anything without permission. Like the Super Bowl, you know, cannot, any broadcast of this cannot be allowed whenever right. they do them. So my question to the group is internet piracy, or piracy in general, a necessity? Is it a hindrance? What is your opinion of it?
It's a hindrance. It's not a necessity. You never need to steal. Well, some people need to steal, but that's like...
food for
the... Yeah, when you're wearing oily rags, okay, in the middle of winter, and you go grab an apple, you might need to steal, okay? Other than that, you know, there's no need for stealing. And it's a hindrance on a lot of things, because these corporations don't need excuses anyway to start bilking us for, you know, for major cash. But when you start, you know, publicizing or popularizing theft on like on a grand scale, that just encourages them to, you know, to mark up all the prices, mark up everything, and then the honest people are the ones that get nailed for it. So it's never good.
In the old days, Charlie, senior correspondent.
Number one, it's illegal.
Cigarette commercials?
Yes, yes. It is illegal.
It's illegal. And
that too.
And none of us here condone it. So I bought a bootleg the other day. No, I did not. It's illegal. My thing is, I was always the type of guy who could wait for the stuff.
Right.
I could wait for, like, if I didn't want to go to the movies and see a DVD or a movie, I could wait for the, here we go, I'm dating myself, VHS to come out. I could wait for all that. Certain people I know could not, and I never understood that. It's illegal. I think it's wrong. It's wrong. Is it a hindrance? Yeah, because the more you have it, the more prices are going to go up. Exactly what Hassan just said. And it's going to hurt the person who just minding his own business and doing everything right in his life. It's going to hurt that person. It's going to hurt the innocent people.
So, but like I was saying before, in the music example, there are smaller artists out there that are happy that people are doing this, that are promoting,
and they have a right to give their stuff away. But
so then that's not piracy, is that?
But that's not piracy.
If it's given away, then you're not pirating anything.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly here. You know what? Have this for free. There's nothing bad about that. There's nothing illegal about that.
So making a copy of something that you can say is giveaway is better. It's fine.
So,
So if I say, here's my song,
there's different levels of that. If you're going to make a copy of something for your own private use to keep it in your house, then that it's still wrong, but you're not going to hurt anybody
right.
by putting it out there, okay. And you're not going to charge 50 people $100 to see a new movie in your house,
right?
You know, it's all wrong.
This is the corporation's fault in the first place, because for the last, I don't know what, 30, 40 years, they've been making products that help you steal other products.
Right.
You know, they make the audio video cables, right? They made cassette recorders that could record stuff off the radio.
Off the radio, yeah.
You know, they made MP3s and stuff. You could distribute them, smaller files. You could distribute them, and you can use an iPad as a hard drive,
right.
As a storage hard drive. So you could transfer your files from one place to another. So I mean, it's not they haven't encouraged it, but they made it very convenient for you to be able to do it. They've also told you, look, why don't you? You know, why would you carry around your compact discs all over the place? You
right.
know, why don't you just, you know, upload them all right. onto iTunes so that you can have them all in one place? Well, once you upload them into iTunes, they turn into files that you can then put out on the internet that you could give away. So they've enabled us to do it. It's not like some kid came up with software that he, you know, that he invented himself to steal stuff and
right.
then distributed it to the right. to okay. the people. You have to there has to be some kind of complicity amongst, you know, the file sharers in the first place. So it's always been that way. I remember the cassette tapes. I remember the dual cassette tape
deck. The dual cassette player, which I had.
Boom boxes that you could take, yeah. And someone could put one in one side, and you could, yep, put another tape in the other side. What was that for?
I still, you know, have mine. And
they called it dubbing.
Yeah, exactly. That's not for dictating, you know, documents and manifestos. That's not for any of that stuff. It's for making playlists and transferring.
It's amazing you bring that up, because I still have mine, dating myself. From 100 years ago.
Only
and it still works.
Like celebrating that too.
No, but what always got to me about it was, you know, as I've mentioned many times, working at Blockbuster, they always have the copyright on the tape, so that if you try to record it, it got all wavily and wobbly. But if you use the Go, it's the Go Video, it's the only company that did it. They've said it happily that it's Go Video, and in the booklet you got, it said it can copyrighted material, but don't do it. In the instruction booklet that came with it, it said you can do it.
Yeah, because they eat each other to pieces, because they want to compete and they want you to buy their product over everybody else's product. So then it comes with features that people would want to buy the thing for.
And that's the big disclaimer,
right?
So they don't get thrown in prison.
The industries cannot complain that they're being ripped off now.
I told them not to do it,
because if the people have found a way to rip them off without somebody else making a profit off of it, that's a big problem with file sharings and torrents and stuff like that. Nobody is profiting off of it,
right?
You know, none of these corporations are getting a cut, so now it's a huge problem. But pirating has been around since forever. People were selling videotapes of camcorder copy,
yeah,
you know,
with
like
the, with the audience. You got the audience with the heads,
yeah,
in, the,
exactly,
in the movie
it's
theater.
It's been around forever. It's just that, you know,
you get this.
It wasn't prolific.
You get the people,
yeah,
walking.
Some jerk.
You're selling in front.
Yeah.
Oh, you get the people talking about what was going to happen in this thing. It's a 4D experience in your home.
The thing was, it wasn't prolific, and it wasn't taking too much profit away from it, because people were seeing it and people were like, well, I don't want to buy this.
Right.
I'm not going to buy your, you know, a copy. I don't want to see the movie that bad. If I'm going to spend $10 on your cassette tape,
right,
I might as well spend $10 to go to the theater. But now that you can download it, nobody cares about the cam. I can see it for free. If I can put up with you know, with San Juan standing in front with his, you know, with his fruit basket on his head, then I can deal with the whole thing. I can watch the movie and I could see it for free and not have to worry about it. There are times I miss movies that I wanted to see in the theaters and I just never got around to seeing. I didn't have the money at the time, or I didn't have the time at the time.
Right.
And I would have settled for, you know, a cam copy of it just to be able
to
see it,
the movie.
Especially when, you know, monkeys are running around talking about it like nonstop, and you just don't want to, you don't want to hear, you know, a spoiler. So, I mean,
and
that's the way it is.
The quality has vastly improved.
Yeah, the technology has gotten better.
I happened to cross episode 3, Star Wars episode 3. A friend of mine, he bought it. I had missed it in the theaters, and he bought it, and, you know, we put it in, and we're like, oh, it's gonna be like, you know, some. Yeah. I had not seen the difference. He put it in, and it was a crystal clear copy, except the fact that the words, the scrolling words, was in Russian. And I'm like, what did you buy? Like, is it going to be all in Russian? No, but it was just the words, and it was perfect English. I was like, oh my God, it blew my mind on the quality of it and how easily he was able to get it.
Yep.
So that really, it's mind-boggling how things have changed.
And that's what's been happening. Look at this year, the year of the failed Blockbuster.
Right.
Which, you know, because nobody's spending the money for this poor quality of entertainment anymore. Well,
right,
not nobody, because their movies are making money. But nobody is quick to spend the money for really, really poor quality or substandard entertainment.
Right.
And they can all download it and see it anyway. You know, now they don't realize that if they keep that up to save a dollar, they're going to destroy the industry, in which case they're not going to have that entertainment at all.
Right.
But nobody ever realizes anything until
it's too late.
You know?
Well, as senior correspondent,
just ask the people in Chernobyl.
I will tell you, in the beginnings of this piracy was ludicrous, because when VHS Beta came out,
right,
by the time VHS was created, all the beta people were ready. They knew exactly what to do. Back in the day, and I researched this, not that I did it. I researched, and I know people who did this.
Right.
And allegedly did this. But back in the day, it was a very simple, you would have a movie on VHS. People would copy the movie.
Right.
They would have two, you know, you have your
two VCRs,
gold,
yeah,
RCA right. jacks. They would copy the movie. That copy would come out brilliant. But yet, a few of these people needed to have that original copy.
Right.
So what they would do, it was very easy to pop the cassette, take the two reels out, exchange their reels,
right.
and put it back. So then all of a sudden, after months, maybe a year passed, and the industry got wise to that,
yeah.
God knows how, then they would put these little
tape
silver things on the seam, which had the address of the uh-huh. mom and pop place.
Uh-huh.
After that happened, the person found out that he could put a little liquid substance on there and fuse that part where he split with that thing. And after that happened, then CopyGuard finally came out.
Yeah.
And then it was figured out how to do that.
How to get around. And then they started making technology that just went
right.
over that.
Right. DVDs so what you guys are saying happened from the very beginning. It was sort of like the pirates evolved with whatever, you know.
But there's always been stealing.
It's
right. There's always, no matter what you have, there's always someone who's going to know how to take it from you, you know.
What bothers me is that in today's day and age, and you can see it online all the time. It's not like, you know, this is a secret thing. People are proud. People feel that they're entitled to this stuff.
Yep.
And that they should steal, because it's not actually stealing anymore. They're trying to change the name. They're saying, well, it's not really stealing because you still have your copy, so it's not stealing. No one's getting hurt. You know, they're trying to use whatever excuse they can. And sometimes you can read some arguments going back and forth about how it is stealing, how it's not stealing, and you're sitting there like, you know, just pay like $2 or $3. Go see the
People are very angry with people who are richer than they are. They're angry with the big corporations. They're angry with them. How dare you charge this price? I have a family. No. You know what? I'm going to do this. You got more money than God. You're not going to miss it.
Well, in all fairness, you guys just make a big deal about Sylvester Stallone and Sigourney Weaver charging $400 for them.
But yeah. I'm not going to go forge his signature.
That's true, but I'm saying it's still the same display of indignance for, like, why are you charging so much for this? You know, why are you bilking me for this little piece of happiness?
Right.
Like, this whole thing is here for you.
You're pirating my movies.
Me. Yeah. Exactly.
I'll make it up. You're going to charge me $100. I'm going to make $800 worth of your merchandise, and it'll be even.
But that's the thing. It's all the money grab, and you're being used for it. So, like, people are inviting you to, it's like, well, come down to the convention. You'll have a great time. We'll have Sigourney Weaver there. We'll have Sylvester Stallone. You'll be able to meet these people for the first time. It'll be like re-experiencing the movies and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, if I don't come, you've just wasted your money bringing these people down here. If I don't come, you have no venue. If I don't come, you have nothing. So don't make it sound like you want me to come down so that I can have fun. You're trying to make it fun so that I will come down and pay you.
Right.
Okay? So that's the thing. The whole convention in and of itself is a money grab. You brought these people here, and this is why they're stealing. You brought these people here to get me to come, to pay money to get in. The money I have to pay to get in is like $40 to $50 on the jump just to walk in the door.
Correct.
So that I can now spend money on everybody else's stuff. You brought certain celebrities to attract me to come down there, but for some reason, either you sign a deal with them where you're not going to pay them, or you sign a deal with them that they're allowed to rob us, and it is technically a robbery. Once they've paid to get through the door, they're allowed to now bilk us for the money. So you don't want to take the expense to pay them so that we can have an experience. After we paid our $50 to get in, we can have a good experience without going bankrupt. You don't want that because it maximizes your returns. Okay, so you say, well, the heck with them. The heck with the fans. The fans are going to come anyway. So you charge the fans whatever you want. As long as you show up and attract them to the venue and then they pay the money to get in, you can charge them whatever you want. So the fans come down, they pay the money to get in. They go to Lou Ferrigno and they're like, hey, you're my favorite. And Lou Ferrigno's like, all right, $80,000. And you're like, I came all this way and I paid $50 to get in. Now I have to pay him. Or I've wasted my time and I've wasted all this money to get here. So of course people are gonna steal. It's not right. But everybody needs to walk away like they won.
Right.
If you walk away feeling like you got rolled for every dime in your pocket, mm-hmm. and you have to take a train home where you could have taken a cab, or you have to walk home where you could have taken a train, okay? Because you wanted someone's autograph. The corporation got paid. Reed got paid. They got their money. Lou Ferrigno got paid. You know, Sylvester Stallone got paid. How come you're the only one walking away with empty hands? So naturally, people start stealing. They get tired of it. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. But it's the way it is, you know?
And the reason Vegas works is they have that same exact theory, only they comp you.
that's
what it is.
Exactly. They'll give you comp you. You do the every four times you show up, they'll give you two for free.
Yeah.
You know? So, yay! And they don't mind that you're there for free.
Because
you're going to spend that money.
Right. My brother who lives there now, my brother and sister-in-law live there. They're going on vacation forever there. They used to get called by the Riviera Hotel. Hey, we want to comp you two rooms this weekend. We two suites, you know, comped. You know, because they know what they spend there,
and it's no expense to them. You know, because those hotels and casinos are usually empty anyway. Nobody really goes to resort there. And like the one we went to was like 20 floors high. There was nobody in that hotel.
Except us.
Yeah. So they comp you because that doesn't cost them a thing.
Yeah.
And then they know you're going to go downstairs. There's nothing else to do in Atlantic City except get robbed. You know. So you go.
Either
down,
way, you're going to get robbed.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well get robbed in your own terms. You know. And in this beautiful scenery with hot chicks.
Like
giving you drinks.
I'm just giving you the money away.
Yeah. So they know you're going to go right. You're not even going to leave the casino half the time. You're just going to go right down to the casino floor and throw all your money away and go back upstairs. That's why it's all right that you don't have to pay for your room, because you could lose your money there, and you will.
And even when you live there, they have a beautiful system too. Because whatever, if you're a local, as they call them, a person who lives there, and you go in, they give you a card so they could keep track of where you're going.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens is you'll be sitting home and you'll get this nice thing from one of the casinos, come and get your gift.
Oh, yes.
And you go there and it's not just, you know, a pen and pencil set. It's something spectacular because you live there, you've been going there, you didn't have to go there because you live there, you know, one of these things.
Right.
And so they're always comping. You live there, they're comping you. You visit, they're comping you. Except in swingers.
So the question is, what is going to happen in the future? As we've seen the transgression happening over the past 10 years, how much things have changed. And how the system is trying to make everything digital, downloadable, instead of having any physical copies, which would make it harder to copy. You know, that's why the TV is now
capitalize on the craze.
Yeah, now the TV is they're trying to make it so that way a universal system where you can just download whatever you want at any time. That's on the inside of the movie theater business. That's what they were afraid of, is that instead of going to the movies, you can just hit the button and have your movie beamed right to your house, to your car. You can have it. That's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why they turned the analog television to digital. It's one of the first steps in what they're doing, is to make everything downloadable. So was that going to be better or worse? If it's as easy to get it if you pay something, maybe it will reduce piracy?
Well, you know, there's never people who are going to steal so much that they cripple an industry. Even though they say that the music industry isn't what it once was, the music industry still exists, you know? So there's always going to be enough people to who are buying it to, you know, because if everyone starts rampantly downloading it for free, they're going to run out of content. There's not going to be any content to download after a while, and that's going to put a stop to it anyway. They'll find a way to stop the torrents and stuff. That they'll find a way to stop all of it, and then you'll kind of be stuck, you know, like until someone finds another mode of ingenuity to get you something for free or on the cheap. Right. You'll be stuck, but they'll even it out.
That'll be a constant. This'll go on. It'll never be an end to it. The only thing they're going to do, again, like Hassan said, is deter it. They'll make higher penalties, stiffer penalties. It's jail terms. It's a federal offense. It's a biggie. It's not just a violation or a slap on the wrist or a, you know, it's in the old days, I don't know what it is now, but it was a $250,000 fine.
Yep, every movie. Yeah, I copy this.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know that, I don't know. But now it's a federal pirating. They put pirating.
But the thing is, the loophole of that is if you copy it for yourself, nothing's going to happen to you.
Right.
If you copy it and then distribute it,
that's
where you go wrong. Well, that's it's always the trafficking where they get
you. Right. That's what's because there's no way they could go against the average Joe who just wants
a copy of the Avengers, you know?
You know?
What are you downloading in there?
So anyway.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But when you're an idiot and you put it out there where you can be.
Yeah, just downloaded such and such, and here's the link where you can have it. And then you're putting yourself in harm's way.
It's not going to stop. It's going to be there forever. It's just human nature, which is a sin. Because I'm one of the guys, and I'm sure you guys are one of that I can go out and afford a movie now for the new movies for $20 or
I see them.
You know what? Because they make sometimes. again back in the day a VHS for the movie for a new movie was something like $100.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah,
I remember looking up in the catalog if I wanted $75.
I went to one of those home video places one time to ask. I think it was G.I. Joe, the Revenge of Cobra. I want to buy this. I was like, I want it forever.
$100.
Yeah, and they were like $78. And my mom's like,
Better take that sucker off a TV.
Yeah, she's like, you'll never get grades good enough for that. So
now you got DVDs, they're coming out the first thing, $16.99, $14.99.
Yep. If you get it that first week.
Yeah, you get it that first week, or if you wait a while and...
To hit the bins.
The $4.99 bins, I mean, and you get great movies in there.
You get a library in case you should turn your cable off.
So we have less than 3 minutes, so we're going to do final thoughts. Hassan, final thought? That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Piracy is bad. Don't do it. But if you have to do it, be smart about doing it.
Charlie, final thought.
Oh, my God. Yes. Just don't do it. I can't follow that. Don't do it. It's bad, okay? Do not do it. Even if you have to do it, don't do it.
And don't kill people either.
My final thought is that they say it's going to cripple the industry. When the Wolverine movie came out, The Origins, it was leaked online, and people still went to see the movie. So, you know, it is what it is.
But the leak was so bad, though. You know, people were like, I got to see a good version of this.
They said it was going to be the end of Wolverine, and it came out one of the openings.
And then they made another one, and they're planning to make another one.
So there you go. So that about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBV. If you miss any part of this show, you can go on our website, www.camefromtheradio.com, and you can listen to the archives, which will be up in a day or so. We've been doing very well. Thanks a lot, Brian. And we will see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.